You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to truly follow Jesus? Understand that the gospel is not about self-help. It's about self-abandonment. It's about the crucifixion of our own will, our own desires, our own passions, our own preferences in exchange for God's will, in exchange for God's ways. And when we come to understand this, then and only then will we walk in greater levels of power, will we walk in greater levels of authority. The lure of the false gospel is this: if you come to Jesus, He'll bless you. If you come to Jesus, He'll heal you. If you come to Jesus, He'll prosper you financially. If you come to Jesus, He'll fix your problems and make your life perfect just the way you want it. Now, although I do believe that Jesus heals, although I do believe in financial prosperity, of course, that's biblical, although I do believe that God wants to bless us and God wants to do things that are to our benefit, I also know that the promise of the gospel is not what God can do for you in this life, but what God has done for you in eternity. The promise of the gospel is not about the here and the now. The promise of the gospel is about eternity. And so what happens is when people come to Christianity and they don't immediately receive the benefits that they were promised, or they don't receive the benefits that they were promised within a certain period of time, then they become discouraged. Then they begin to lose faith. Then their focus begins to turn from their love for Jesus to their lack of the things that they thought they should have been blessed with. But the truth of the gospel is not about what God promises to do for you. The truth of the gospel is about what God has already done for you and what He has called you to do for His sake and for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 says, and this is Jesus talking now, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. If you try to keep things just the way you want them, if you try to remain in comfort, if you try to keep your life arranged just so, you will eventually lose that life. God came to disrupt us right in the middle of everything that we were doing. The gospel is disruptive before it is comforting. The gospel is confrontational before it is healing. People have to know the problem before they will seek the solution. So the gospel comes in the middle of our lives and it challenges us at the deepest level of our selfishness. It challenges us at the deepest level of our self-centeredness. And the verse before what we just read says, then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. A crossless gospel is a Christless gospel. There is no power without the cross. There is no power without sacrifice. There is no power without self-denial. You don't hear that preached often today. You hear about blessing. You hear about what's coming your way. You hear about your season and what God wants to do for you. But I'm here because I love you to tell you the truth. God has called you to lay down your life for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the gospel. We need to stop trying to build what God has told us to crucify. We have sermons on how to build your self-esteem. We have sermons on how to build your life. We have sermons on how to reach success in all of the different areas of life. But God has not called us to self-improvement. God has called us to self-abandonment. Do not build what God has told you to crucify. Do not put a temporary solution when God has given us the permanent solution. Do not work necessarily just on the exterior, but allow God to work on your heart. And instead of demanding things from Him, realize that God wants you to lay down your life for His sake. We hear so many sermons on how to succeed. We hear so many sermons on tips for everyday living. We hear so many sermons on how to climb your mountain. And the reason that that gospel needs to tell you so often how to climb your mountain is because that gospel has no power to move the mountain. Stop talking about climbing the mountain and start living in such a way where the mountains have to move. The day of breakthrough that we talk about, that many of those in the American church, that many of those in the self-centered church, that many of those in the church that believe solely in the prosperity gospel, what they believe, what is being taught, what is the deception of now, what is the deception of our time, is that God wants to bless you, and that's the end of the gospel. But while I do believe that God wants to bless you, there is something He's called you to do. Again, I emphasize, He's called you to lay down your life. So often you hear, my breakthrough is coming, my season is coming, my day is coming. But what do Christians actually mean when they say breakthrough? For the most part, when people talk about breakthrough, they're imagining the day when they're in a perfect scenario. They're imagining the day when all of their trials are gone. And that is what breakthrough has come to mean. Breakthrough in the Christian world nowadays does not mean breakthrough in my prayer life, where I'm connected with the Holy Spirit in deeper ways. No. Now, when you say breakthrough, what people actually mean is the day when all my troubles are gone. It's the day when I can finally relax and start enjoying my life. What we need to learn to do is to enjoy what God has given to us. And when that happens, nothing can shake us no matter what changes on the exterior. Again, I emphasize, do I believe in healing? Yes. Do I believe in financial prosperity? Absolutely. It's biblical and no one could tell me otherwise. Do I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders and blessings from God in this life? Of course. You can't read the Bible and not see that. What I am asking, though, is what does it truly mean to follow Jesus? And that means that you won't be you anymore. That means it won't be about yourself anymore. You give your life in obedience to God. It doesn't matter how you were taught. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter where you grew up. If you're a follower of Christ, the goal is to become like Jesus and to obey His every word. We are the servants. He is the master. Yes, He is my Father, but He is also my King and my Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says this, but Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. When we made the decision to follow Christ, we made the decision to make Him the Lord of our lives. And therefore, when we look to Jesus, we say, Jesus, I'm going to follow You, I'm going to obey You, I'm going to pursue You, and nothing can make me look back. Nothing can make me consider going back to my old selfish ways. Instead, I say, I will press forward, and no matter what happens, I will continue. As that famous song says, though none go with me, still I will follow. If all hell breaks loose around me, still I will follow. If none of the things I dreamed would happen happen, still I will follow. If everyone I love should turn on me and turn on Jesus and turn on the ministry, then still I will follow Jesus. We must recognize that we are on a mission, that we are submitted to a king in a kingdom. In Luke chapter number 22, verse 39, the scripture says, then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. Continuing now, there He told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. By the way, this is attached to the crucifixion narrative. This is just leading up to when Jesus will be arrested, and He knows it's coming. Verse 42, Father, if You are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from Me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened Him. He prayed more fervently, and He was in such agony of spirit that sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Here we see Jesus about to embrace the cross, not wanting to, but deciding to, because of His love for His Father and because of His love for those whom He would die. Jesus facing this situation. Jesus coming up against the darkest hour of His life, says to the Father, Lord, if it's possible, let this pass me by. Lord, if it's possible, let me avoid the route that causes me suffering. If it's possible, let me avoid the pain. Let me avoid what's going to afflict me. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Jesus thought perhaps there might be another way. But He recognized that it didn't matter if that's what the Father wanted to do. So what does Jesus say? He says, nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done. Not My desire, Your desire. Not My preference, Your preference. Not My way, Your way. My question to you is, what are you doing for the sake of the gospel? What have you given up to respond to God's call? We need to learn to put the old self on the cross and not allow it to be resurrected. We need to put the old habits, the old mentalities, the old ways of thinking. My goodness, preacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet, apostle, teacher, listen. We must crucify ambition. We must crucify this desire for success. We must crucify the desire to be liked. Believer, Christian, everyone who's listening, we must crucify our passions. What if he wants that career on the cross? What if he wants that relationship on the cross? What if he wants that mentality on the cross? What if he wants that philosophy on the cross? What if he wants what you desire on the cross? We need to put the old self on the cross, along with the desires, along with the dreams, along with the ambitions, along with the plans and ideas and scenarios and mindsets and preferences. Everything about us must go on the cross. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means you are no longer you. It means you say, God, I'm a tool in your hand. God, I'm a yielded vessel in your hand. You see, there's no limit to what God can do with a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit. When it comes to being used by God, it's not about how gifted you are, how intelligent you are, or how charismatic you are. When it comes to being used by God, it's about how surrendered you are. And when you come before Him and say, Lord, here are my desires, here are my plans, here are my ambitions, put them on the cross, then true power comes on your life. Then a true anointing comes on your life. I'm not talking about a life that's all suffering, for the scripture tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm simply saying that we must not rely upon what we deem as the perfect circumstance to give us that peace, to give us that joy. That joy and that peace come from God and God alone. The beauty of the gospel is that we've received Him as our reward. And if that's all He ever desires to do for us, then so be it. We owe Him everything. You see, salvation is free, but the anointing will cost you everything. When you get saved, you'll lose your lukewarm friends. But when you get anointed, you begin to lose even those Christian friends who were committed and those Christian friends who may think you were going too far. We must come to the place where we say, God, whatever it is you desire to do with my life, spend me for your glory. Spend me like currency in your hand. Give up your comfortable situation. Give up your idea of what you think your life should look like. If it keeps you from obeying God, then it belongs on the cross. If it keeps you from walking in His will, then it belongs on the cross. If it keeps you from becoming like Jesus, then it belongs on the cross. If it keeps you from fulfilling the call, then it belongs on the cross. This is the death of self. This is the surrendered life. This is what God calls us to lay it all down and say, you're the Lord, you're the Master, I'm the servant. Not my will, but your will be done. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.